All right, thank you all. We'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Bruce?
Here.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. And if you join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item is a consent agenda. Is any questions, comments, anything you want pulled for discussion? Motion to approve? That's all the options I can think of.
That's it? That's all you got?
That's all I got.
I would move we approve the consent agenda then.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Aye.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. That takes us to East Cuna Urban Renewal District Planning Update with JUB Engineers and Morgan. Are you like Vanna White on the, what is that show?
Okay. What is that show? Wheel of Fortune?
Wheel of Fortune? Yeah, right.
Hello, can everybody hear me?
Yes.
All right, Lisa Bachman with JUB Engineers here to talk about the East Cuna Urban Renewal District Plan and kind of where we're at in the process. Just to back up a little bit about who's here tonight, I know that we invited the Urban Renewal Agency Board and then also the Planning and Zoning Commission just so that we're bringing everybody along in the process to be informed of where we're at. That way, when we go through the adoption process, they're not hearing about it for the first time type of thing. We have been working closely with the Urban Renewal Agency on this, and they've seen most of this information. There's a couple little new details that we've developed, so just trying to be transparent and make sure everybody is on the same page with this. So that's why we're calling it a workshop. So just real quickly, some introductions. Of course, we have Morgan Treasure, the URA Board, Planning and Zoning Commission, and City Council. Can anybody identify themselves of who's here from the Planning and Zoning Commission? Okay. Planning and Urban Renewal Agency? Okay. So
we
everybody.
Have another Planning and Zoning Commissioner in
the
room.
And? Yes?
Me.
Okay. What's your name, me?
Jim May.
Hi, Jim May. Nice to meet you. Let's see. And then I know I have Ren Thurgood here as the engineer, but he actually wasn't feeling well, so we have Tim Clark. He's our engineer that can answer any technical engineering questions if those arise. And then we also have Elim and Burke here. They're our legal team, Megan and Abby. They can help answer any questions about process or urban renewal in general. They're total pros in this and can help us answer any questions we have. And we also on our team have Olivia Metz. She's the economist. She's not here tonight, but she's preparing the economic feasibility study, and she'll do the analysis on all the finances for the district and also include information in the plan that will be presented through the adoption process. So just to give a quick little overview of the workshop, we're going to back up a little bit and just talk about, because I know we have some new people here, what is an urban renewal district? Some of this will seem repetitive because many of you have seen this exact presentation or something like it. We'll also talk about why urban renewal for East Cuna, the East District background, and Morgan can help chime in on any questions specific to that. Sort of the steps to create the district so you can see where we're at in the process and what we have left to do. Tim Clark, the engineer, will go through some maps and the project list for the public infrastructure, and then we'll go through any feedback and questions. And along the way, feel free to stop me if you have any questions. I'll try to pause after a couple slides. Hopefully this will only take about 10 minutes just to give you an overview, but I want everyone to be informed and feel like you know that you're very familiar with the district and what we're doing here. So no rush, but this shouldn't be super long. Okay, so what is urban renewal? It gives us the ability to focus dollars into a specific area for public infrastructure improvements. So why CUNA? A little bit of background here for those of you that haven't been part of this process. Urban renewal conversations have been going on in CUNA since 2001. The Urban Renewal Agency was officially established in 2011. And then the first urban renewal district was formed, which is the West District for the downtown CUNA area in 2020. So a lot of the reason why the city is pursuing urban renewal is to get the funding to do the public infrastructure to support commercial growth, industrial growth, and that type of thing. It was a key tool that was identified in the comprehensive plan process that we went through as a way to build the infrastructure to support businesses coming to CUNA and jobs locally. Here's an example that we had last time too. It's Caldwell. They've done some really amazing things with urban renewal. If you're familiar with the Indian Creek Restoration and Downtown Plaza project that they did, some redevelopment work with the theater, YMCA, Treasure Valley Community College, and also a business center that brought $40 million worth of investment, 14 new buildings, and 400 jobs. So backing up a little, I guess before I go into what is an urban renewal district, does anybody have any questions so far? No? Okay. I'll go ahead and proceed. Again, this is a planning boundary to reinvest taxes from new developments in an area into infrastructure projects, public infrastructure projects. An urban renewal district tax increment financing, that's what TIF means. It does not raise property taxes or affect impact fees that are in place. Also, greenfield development, that's what we're doing in East CUNA. Greenfield development industrial park is bare land that currently the value is low because it's like agriculture, doesn't have many improvements, if any at all. And then you also have redevelopment, the downtown, like the West District that we have, where you're able to do roadway and pedestrian improvements and also public infrastructure in these areas to support this type of growth. So how it works, and this best relates to what we're doing with the East District, how it works. An example is 1 acre of undeveloped ground in the district. Say it's worth, $100,000 today. And that's what it's assessed at. That's the base value of the district. And so what happens once we set the district, the base value freezes, and then the increment value, so say the development that comes in, they build buildings on this, now the value is $1 million. So the urban renewal district can use the property taxes collected on that extra $900,000 of that value increase times the levy rate for infrastructure projects within the planning area. I know that's a lot to digest in a short amount of time, especially if anybody's hearing it for the first time. Any questions?
Yeah, please, anybody in the audience has questions, whatever, don't hesitate, just go ahead and speak up.
Okay, so one of the questions comes up pretty often, what about taxing entities? So I guess backing up a little bit, this is that increment base that we were talking about at that 100,000. This darker purple is where that would get frozen and the taxing districts would continue to receive their amount. And then the increment here is what would be invested in the urban renewal district or eligible to be invested in the urban renewal district. And when it's turned back over, then all of that increased value then goes back to the underlying tax entities within the district. And the attorneys have a lot more intricate explanation of that if anybody has specific questions. That was very high level. Just a little bit about East District background. It's located in the CUNA-Mora coal area, and Tim will show you a more detailed map here in a minute. It includes about 1,500 acres that was annexed into city limits February and October of 2021. The business interest that Morgan has encountered is a data center, technical center, a trust plant, agricultural food cleaning business, and I'm sure there's been a few more, but those are the main ones that we're aware of as far as the infrastructure planning that we looked at. So all of the efforts that CUNA has been doing toward economic development and to support it has really attracted these businesses. If CUNA wasn't proactive in that, this would not even have come to fruition as an idea or a reality. Yes.
Before you move on, could you go back one slide?
Sure.
I just had a question. I thought I missed something, but I wanted to make sure I read it right.
Okay.
I was talking about the fire, police, parks, HGA, you still collect impact fees. How does that affect schools?
Megan, you want to answer that question? Or Abby? Because they can be a lot more thorough.
Thank you.
Than I can.
Megan Conrad, you on the board to 2021.
Megan Conrad, Elam and Burke, 251 East Front Street, Boise, Idaho. Thank you, Mayor and Council Member. It's a great question. So under the statute, the Urban Renewal Agency is only entitled to certain levies, and for the most part, the school levies are accepted out from that formula. So none of those dollars generated by the school levies flow to an Urban Renewal Agency. There are exceptions to that. Sometimes there's a tort levy that's in place, and that's very small. Sometimes that will be in place. And then there are, I believe, the permanent supplemental school levies may generate some revenue, but it's rare. So in most cases, there are not dollars flowing to an agency.
So, and I don't know who to ask this question to, but I just ask, and somebody could raise their hand. Creating this urban renewal district, I'm speaking for school district purposes, if this didn't exist, how much taxes are the school districts missing out on? Because if we're going to cap it, does the school district lose any money on this?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council Member. So I am not an expert in school district budgeting by any means. And I know there are multiple levies that are in place in generating revenue. So in general, if a taxing district establishes its budget, it's going to levy to that budget, you know, whether it's bond levy or if it's, you know, a property tax generated levy like a city or a county. So I don't have a specific answer as to that, but my belief is that it would not make a difference here.
Okay, thank you.
I was going to ask, maybe I think what Mr. Larry is getting at too is the increment. When we're talking about what goes into the increment, you're saying generally school district levies don't go into the increment. Right, that's not something that's preserved and that goes to the URD. It stays still going to school district and doesn't become part of that increment as represented on the graph.
Right. So in the formulas, right? So for a city, you have your budget, and then you have it over the total taxable value of your district. And schools are different. They've got bonds sometimes that they're levying against, and that calculation is a little bit different. That's my understanding. So it's really that formula stays the same. It's the increment that does not become part of that overall formula in generating the levy. But taxing districts, when they budget, they will get what they've budgeted for. It's not like a dollar that is flowing to the agency is being taken away from a dollar that flows to the school.
Now, this has something to do with bonds and levies, but on the general, when a school district doesn't have a bond or a levy in place, the regular taxes that are collected or acquired, is that changed because of urban renewal?
And no, my understanding is no.
Okay, thank you.
But recognizing I'm not, you know, I have the caveats, I'm not a school district attorney, but my understanding is no.
You had something?
Danielle Gardner,
Hi, everyone. Danielle Horace. I'm with CUNA School District. I live at 1822 Montello, Boise. Mayor, Councilman, thank you for asking the question specific to funding for the schools, because that second bullet there is what caused my question and hopefully maybe caused yours, that clearly the fire, police, parks, and ACHD will still collect impact fees, and we know school districts are the exception to that, those two words of impact fees, yet still we have to have places and seats and teachers and buildings for our kids to go to school. So I think the big question that I still have outstanding, maybe I get lost in the language of increment and what this means, is what money will flow to the schools like they're flowing to the fire, police, parks, and ACHD, because this impacts growth. We do know that bonds and levies are part of that equation. What we're hearing from our moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas is that they don't think they should shoulder all of it. So, and I guess that's the big question, is whose job is it to pay for growth and what percentage? That's the questions I still have.
Thank you.
So I guess what we're talking about with the East Urban Renewal is commercial. So we're not talking about residential. We're not talking about things that are going to impact the school, although the school's going to benefit from the taxes that are brought in from commercial. So I don't know if
more than
I don't know if we're getting off track with what the school. I mean, schools obviously can't collect impact fees, and the entities that can will still collect those impact fees, whether we have an urban renewal district or not, when buildings go in. So I'm not sure if that's the question as to what. What do schools benefit from this?
Right. I just noticed they were missing on that one section. It said, we'll still collect. I realize schools don't get impact fees, but
right. We
specifically mentioned these guys will get there, but we didn't mention how it would affect the schools. That's all I was curious about.
Okay. Yeah, and they don't get them. But where we're talking about commercial development here, that particular portion is going to benefit the schools more than affect the schools negatively. So.
Thank you.
And thank you, Mr. Mayor, Council Member. And just so you're aware, I'm looking at the 2021 certified levy rates. It looks like as of that date, there was three levies that are applicable to CUNA School Number 3. One of them is a bond, one of them is a supplemental, and one of them is a tort. The bond and the supplemental, those do not generate revenue on increment that flows to the agency, only the tort levy. And that is 0.00031085. It's very small. So it's, and still, the tort budget that is set by the school district, they're going to get that budget. They're going to get that budgeted amount. It's just that levy rate times that increment value will generate a small amount of revenue to the district.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We good?
Sorry for the interruption.
Oh, no, you're fine.
Lisa, I think you could answer all that just fine.
I don't know. It's, it starts getting legal, I, you know, tread lightly there. That's why we have the professionals here. All right, so I think we covered most of what was on the slide here. We didn't. I was just given an overview of the types of businesses that are known to come into the area, and how it's identified as industrial use on the future land use map as far back as 2015. And again, it's already been annexed into city limits with an industrial designation in accordance with the comprehensive plan. And these jobs and this type of growth was identified in alliance with the comp plan, which is something that we'll talk about here in a minute. But that's what the Planning and Zoning Commission's role is in this process, is to make that determination that it does align. And so why is this area attractive? It's good for trucking, rail, electric, and telecom utilities. But the challenges that we have out in that area is lack of water, sewer, and roadways. So the infrastructure plan associated with this urban renewal district plan addresses those things and identifies the sizing and the location and all that, and Tim will talk about that a little bit more here in a minute. Okay. So steps to create a district, and again, I know many of you have seen this multiple times, but this is also the first time that some of you are seeing it. So the first step is that the city council approves the eligibility study. So we looked at the area, made sure that it was eligible, made the findings required by the state. That was done in February of 2022. And the past few months, we've been working on developing the plan, finding out from the businesses that are coming in, and also looking at master plans and infrastructure plans to identify the infrastructure in that area. Those are the main components of the plan. And, of course, all the legal aspects and the economic analysis that's currently being done. So tonight, this isn't required, but we are having a work session to review the draft plan, the main components of it, which is essentially a map and a project list, and just also been talking with partner agencies along the way so that they're aware of it, the highway district, the school district. There's been conversations along the way just to make sure everyone is up to speed. And then from here, we'll go on, and the Urban Renewal Agency will review the draft plan, which will also include the economic feasibility analysis. It'll include an estimate of what will be generated for that tax increment and the infrastructure improvements. And then in October, we're planning to go to the Planning and Zoning Commission. And again, these dates aren't solid. They can move a little bit, but I'm just giving you a general time frame. We'll go before the Planning and Zoning Commission, where Morgan will prepare a memo that'll talk about the alignment with the comprehensive plan. And then we'll move on to City Council through the adoption process from there. I just want to, on the Planning and Zoning Commission part, it's not a public hearing. It's more of like an informal session like this, where we're just talking about it. We're talking about the alignment and that type of thing, where when we get to the City Council level here, it'll be more formal. It'll be a public hearing, notice, all that good stuff. Well, this meeting will be noticed, too, with the Planning and Zoning Commission, because there will be a quorum, and normal meeting noticing will occur. Does anybody have questions about where we're at in the process? Okay, so with that, I will turn it over to our engineer, Tim Clark, and he's going to talk about the boundary and the projects and all the technical stuff.
Good evening. Tim Clark with JV Engineers. Sorry, I just messed up a slideshow. That's about how that would work for me. So the URD, the boundary, if you're not familiar with it, is about 5 miles southeast of us as the crow flies. It's at the intersection of Cunamora Road and Cole Road. If you're familiar with the area, the CS Beef Packers is over there. The boundary surrounds that packing facility. With the engineering side of the Urban Renewal District, essentially our goal is to develop a list of projects and a planning level cost estimate associated with those projects. There is some planned growth in the area, some developments that have been approved by the city and by DEQ and are proceeding towards construction. Those facilities had to complete what's called a facility plan for both the sewer and water systems. That is where we got most of the information that we're basing our project list off of and our projections, as well as the City of CUNA's water and sewer master plans. So basically what that means is the water line sizing, sewer sizing, is all in accordance with the city's master planning and the facility plans that have already been created and approved by DEQ. On this image you see here, there's green, blue, and purple. They're kind of small. I apologize for that. But we do have a larger poster we can show after if you want to see a closer look of it. The green is wastewater sewer infrastructure. The blue is water. Purple is roadways. There's a yellow dot, that's gas. We've incorporated electrical infrastructure, gas infrastructure, broadband for all of these for the future development in the area. I'd like to emphasize that it's very preliminary. So when we lay out future water lines or sewer lines, we generally follow section or quarter section lines where there is roads now or where there are planned roads. It's easiest to build those in roads, and we don't have to go through an easementing process. Once we completed those, we were able to develop a project list. This is a snippet of that project list divided by the type of infrastructure, sewer, water, et cetera. The On the right side of that, it's pretty small, but there's a funding sources where we have delineated which these projects will be, or how these projects will be funded, whether it's privately funded or funded by the public. These are preliminary estimates based off of our conversations with the city, with Morgan and with Paul, and an estimation of future growth. The URD developing these project lists, it's very dependent on the future growth, the rate at which the growth occurs, what type of growth is coming in. So we are using our best judgment on this. But once we have that project list, we're able to develop a planning level cost estimate, which we feed to Olivia Metz with the Metz Group that she puts into her calculators or spreadsheets and somehow figures out how much money the URD will generate. With that, are there any questions on the engineering side? I try to keep it pretty high level. Otherwise, I myself may get confused. But essentially, we're doing our best to follow the guidance that has been approved by DEQ through the facility plans for the developments that already been accepted and the city's accepted water and sewer master plans. So it should be all in accordance with what the city has already approved and is moving forward towards.
Yes, sir. Question. Yeah. On the water and the sewage, those are already proposed to be put in out there by a certain company, Meta.
Some of them are.
Correct. The big portion of it.
Yes, sir.
So if another company, ABC, wants to move in, shouldn't they pay to hook up to all that instead of the Urban Renewal District money paying for it?
Yes, sir. And that's why we have the funding sources as private and public. So you can see there's... I can't see either. There are a couple of project descriptions. So, for example, Lisa referenced a trust factory I can't remember the other one, but there are a couple of planned developments already that the city is receiving either applications for or construction drawings that are being reviewed. Those we have in here as being privately funded. So anything outside of that, we can't necessarily attribute that to being privately funded where we don't have something to attribute that to. Does that make sense? Where we have development planned, we are planning on that being privately funded. But where there's nothing planned yet, we can't direct that to a private source.
And the roads are ACHD?
Yes, sir. The roads will be done by ACHD.
Okay, thank you.
Did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah, can I add to that?
Yes.
For the record, Lisa Bachman, so there are infrastructure agreements in place that the city entered into with the developers, the private developers here. So they're actually going to be putting in lines that are larger than their property, right? So they're upsizing, and so they would be eligible for reimbursement by the other properties that go in or the Urban Renewal Agency. Correct. Yeah, it's almost like an additional fee for the upsizing that's not serving their development. So they're building a lot more than they need that'll help serve the other properties around them, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions or anything else you have for us? It's that exciting, right?
Yeah.
No, thank you very much. And when I attended this the other day, it was it's good. I like the work and the way we're moving forward with things. So I appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
All right. Tabled from July 5th, 2022, case number 2001 PUD, 2006 ZC, 2008 S, 2201 V, 2001 DA, agreement for Merlin Cottages subdivision. Doug Hansen.
Good evening,
2, it was, the public hearing was closed and continued to today's date. If you do have any questions, the applicant is in attendance and may be able to address those if you chose to reopen the public hearing.
Okay.
Mine's loading.
Okay.
Why did we send this back last time? We wanted smaller.
We didn't give them any discretion, right? Because we were looking at different ways. I think what I was looking at is a certain code that said different type of mitigation fees and whatnot, but there wasn't anything we could send back to actually change.
I'm good.
So I don't need to load all this, is what you're telling me, now that it's loading all of it.
And I always open the packet. That's how I was able to look at all that.
My packet disappeared.
Oh, it did.
She's coming to fix it.
You just want to click on the blue line down there, go up a little. There you go.
This is perfect.
Okay.
You're good. Mr. Bruce? Nothing to add to it?
No, I don't know.
Okay. Well, then, let's see. If there's nothing to add, we don't need to do all of that. Then we can then just...
we can move to approve... Case number 20-01 PUD, 20-06 ZC, 20-08 S, 22-01-V, and 20-01 DA.
And was there any...
With staff.
With staff recommendations?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that right? With staff conditions, excuse me.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Nay.
And that motion carries. 2022 Comprehensive Plan Amendment Maps. Staff is requesting this public hearing item be remanded back to Planning and Zoning in order to review proposed adjustments to the industrial land use designations in East Kuna.
A motion is such. Okay. I would move we remand the plan or the comprehensive plan maps back to the Planning and Zoning Commission in order to review proposed adjustments to the industrial land use designations in East Kuna.
Do we have a second?
Second.
A motion and a second to remand this back to Planning and Zoning. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries.
Mayor, I'm sorry. I wasn't looking that way. Who seconded the motion?
Mr. Lorway.
Okay, thank you.
Business items. A1, consideration to approve general fund contingency request for $140,000 for K and Avalon traffic signal. Chris Ingalls.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. I had brought this forward previously. However, Jared, just for clarification, asked me to ask for a motion for the $140,000 that will go towards the K and Avalon project for a future signal, which includes a traffic study, a warrant study, and engineering to try and move the project forward. We had discussed it several meetings ago, which council approved it, but just wanted to clarify and ask for a motion that would have $140,000 coming out of funds. Would come out of general fund.
So basically, it's just a cleanup for
right.
Language.
Yes, please.
For language and
any future
makes
audits.
It, makes it good like for that. The auditors.
Yes. It does, and it's going to be a federal project, so it's always good to have everything lined out.
And Jared's picky about those things.
He's so fussy. And then item A2 goes with this, and so we have been through the traffic warrant study, and now we need to go through the signal warrant study. So the resolution of our 4922 is to do a change order to the contract, which adds that new traffic signal warrant. So basically, the first one says, yep, there's enough traffic that it warrants some kind of traffic mitigation, and now this one says, well, what traffic mitigation works best? Is that a signal? Is that a roundabout? Is that, you know, any other number of potential options? So
but we need to do these separately, do one and then two?
Yes, I need a separate motion for each, okay. If I could, please.
Then I would move we approve $140,000 from the general fund contingency for the K and Avalon traffic signal.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? And that motion carries.
I would then move we approve resolution R49-2022.
I'll second it.
Motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. And that is all we have tonight. Nancy, would you announce our employee that is going to be celebrating a huge anniversary for the city this month?
Well, we have Clint DeYoung, who has been with us on the 4th for 25 years. Wow. And that is a City of Kuna record. He is our longest employee that I'm able to without doing some serious digging in the basement, which I will if I'm asked, but I don't want to. But I think Clint's been with us longer than anybody else. So, you know, kudos to Clint. That is a huge achievement, especially this day and age. You rarely see someone stay with an organization this long, and we are very, very, very glad that we have him
on our team. What department is he in?
He is our water supervisor.
Yeah, water. And so the one thing I'll say about him is he's one of those kind of people that you really want here because he's in charge, but he's the first one that will grab a shovel, jump in a hole, and get muddy, and he'll never ask anybody to do anything that he wouldn't do himself. And his institutional knowledge, of course, after 25 years is a huge asset to the city. So he's just one of those kind of people we're proud to have here. And so
it's an awesome achievement.
Yeah, that's so great.
Yeah, we're very, very happy to have him on our team.
I don't know he'll stay another 25 years, but, you know, who knows?
I'm in the fourth quarter now. I don't plan 25 years.
All right. And then CUNA Day is coming up this weekend.
Yeehaw. Chief, you ready?
You ready?
As ready as we can be, sir.
Are you ready?
Got some extra cattle prods?
Yeah. It's marked on my calendar every year.
Okay.
Right after the last day of CUNA Day.
I think we're still on record, correct?
Yes, we are.
Mike Fortusco, Chief of Police for the City of CUNA, 1450 West Boise Street. I will acknowledge Chris did get us an electric vehicle. It's an electric truck, Pikmin truck. It's rated as a golf cart. So we got that thing's going to get all decaled out with a top light, and it will be for our special events and... No, that's not the updated picture.
I've got a blue light.
We're gonna put the old, I think the old Crown Vic lights on there, Councilman Larraway.
Nice.
Those wheels and tires are not accurate on that. We have bigger wheels and tires. We did put Deputy Beardall and Deputy Built in, who are both about 270, 6'3", 6'4", somewhere around there, and they both actually fit in the front seat, not comfortably. It will do 25 miles an hour, but it will be good for the Greenbelt Patrol. We do have volunteers will come and use that. And on top of that, we acquired a golf cart, a new golf cart. This was all done by a grant with our city clerk and I believe Treasure Valley, Idaho. Together, Treasure Valley. So it will benefit us, and I will... And I have driven it already and stopped traffic because it will only do 25 miles an hour, 23 on a slight hill.
No pursuit stuff, right?
There is no pursuits in that thing.
Unless you get the Fred Flintstone thing.
Maybe an infant. Maybe you'll catch an infant.
A tailwind?
Yes. Yes.
I've got an extra nitrous tank at home.
And the nice thing, it'll carry enough equipment that as they're doing Greenbelt Patrol, they can carry stuff to... facilitate any type of emergency assistance they need to, and it's gonna be a nice asset. And I thought maybe Chief would give up his vehicle for it, but I guess not. So.
Yeah, Mayor, I will not give up that vehicle. And I see retired Chief of Police current Councilman John Larraway laughing, so he does know that we will get some looks on this.
I just remember all the street fights.
Yeah, CUNA Days is not what it used to be.
Street dances turned into street fights. Yeah. In the middle. Yeah.
But yes, and a special thanks to Chris and her team for going after all these grants and making it possible for us to have that kind of equipment around. So, yeah, good deal. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You'll see that we dropped on each of your desks a coin.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So Chris Smith, who works in my office as a deputy clerk, he took a photo from the tractor out front and made the digitalization so that we could get the coins done. And then also he did the rendering on the other side from other photos. Such a talented guy. So just thrilled to be able to have those to... you know, share as we go along, and then they'll be available to the public. The cost to us was $3.50, so They'll be available to the public to purchase as well.
Cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see it as a city?
Thank you.
Thank you, yeah.
Yeah, they're very nice. That's all I can think of, unless anybody else has something.
No, sir.
All right. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.